Hey guys, welcome back to the Barbershop Group Podcast. Today we're going to be talking about some common mistakes that men make during sex. Now listen, if you're older, you probably know a thing or two about sex by now, right? But there's always more to learn. Now after all, if your partner enjoys sex more, you both win, because it just means you'll enjoy sex a lot more together and more often, right? So in everybody's best interest, we're going to list a few common mistakes we men make in bed with women and what we can do instead. Now, just a note, guys, listen, all women are different. And ultimately, you want to be able to talk to your spouse or girlfriend or partner, whatever you call them, I guess, you know, whatever their label is, their title is. You know, none of these things are hard and fast rules that apply to everybody. And I think that's very important for me to say that because a lot of times people listen to podcasts and all this stuff on the internet and social media, and they come away with a lot of generalizations, right? So I would like to say in the beginning, every generalization carries an exception. Every generalization does not include everybody. Okay, so some of these things might be more applicable for some women than others, all right? The ultimate thing that you want to do, guys, is you want to talk to your spouse or your girlfriend, you know, and you really want to listen, okay? So take these as inspiration for how you can be rethinking what you're doing in bed for her benefit. One of the things that we mess up on is the lack of eroticism. It's one of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex, is ignoring the full energetic context. Sex is so much more than just the ins and outs of the physical act. Most of us intuitively know this, right? It's why sex with a new partner is so fun, so titillating. It's the flirtatious buildup. It's the tension in between the space, you know, it keeps you aching, it's got you wanting to be close, it's that throbbing desire for something that may or may not actually happen, and the feeling of somebody else's desire for you. It's that lusty thing, right? Is this going to happen? Okay, we know what that's about. That's eroticism. It's an energy component of sex, right? This energy often gets discarded over the course of a long-term relationship, especially marriages, all right? Instead, sex kind of devolves into just getting it done. While all genders can be guilty of perpetuating this dynamic, there's some evidence out there that suggests that women's desire is more sensitive to context. What does this mean? Well, it means if you're a guy wondering why your female partner isn't as interested in sex these days, you may want to consider how intentionally you are crafting the context around shared sexual experiences. You got to focus on cultivating more erotic energy leading up to and during sex, and also just in general in your relationship. You know, pull her into an intense sensual kiss right before she leaves for work, or before you leave for work. You know, whisper in her ear that she's sexy while you're out in public somewhere and you're shopping or whatever the case may be, right? Make sure that she's a little bothered by you in a good way, you know? Reminisce about a particularly erotic memory you have of her and tell her how she made you feel, right? Number two, not taking our time. You know, when we talk about going through the motions, yeah, this can be a problem. We men can sometimes make the mistake of moving too quickly once sex starts, wanting to rush right into genital stimulation. And we hear women say this, but for whatever reason, a lot of guys just refuse to believe that it's true. I don't know why. That can look like going straight from making out to trying to stick your hand down her underwear, or immediately turning her around to get into doggy as soon as you get to the bedroom. Yeah, that's not taking your time, man. While a hard and fast I need you right now quickie can be fun, other times it can feel like you're just rushing past a lot of other good stuff, you know, and women don't really like that as much. Most people would choose a long and luxurious 90-minute, you know, message over a rushed, aggressively delivered 30-minute one, right? You know, think about a 90-minute massage over a 1-minute massage. You don't want that for yourself, right? Think about a book that's supposed to be really, really good, but it's so short, it's hard to get into it, right? It's like, well, I missed it. What was the point of this? You know? Yeah, women think that way. And they tell us this, but again, are we listening? You got to take your time, guys. Don't ignore the other very sensitive parts of her body, okay? Give each part of her body some dedicated attention throughout that sexual experience and talk to her about, you know, what is sensitive to her. Don't just assume or make guesses. Be open to the education that she's providing to you. Now, here's a third thing that's really important. A lot of times we guys mistake wetness for arousal. Guys, I got to tell you, you know, if you've got a wife, girlfriend, you've been involved in pregnancy, that whole phase, you have paid attention in health class or something like that, you know that the vagina is naturally wet. Okay, it's lubricated on its own. Okay, it just does that as a cleaning mechanism. That's what it's supposed to do. Okay, but a lot of us assume that a wet vagina is the indicator of an aroused woman, and it's not true. Okay, in reality, a person's genital responses may not always align with what they want. Arousal, what they call arousal non-concordance, right? That happens when a person's mind and body aren't in sync in terms of arousal. For example, a woman might be mentally turned on but not experience wetness, or vice versa. She might be physically wet but not subjectively aroused or actually wanting to have sex. This can happen for, you know, guys, right, as well. You know, have you ever been super turned on but not able to get erect, or had an erection in a situation where you definitely didn't want to have sex? Yeah, that does happen to men, but some of the research out there just says that it happens to women a little more. Now, there are a million and one reasons why a woman's vagina might not naturally lubricate despite being turned on. It could be stress, medications, aging, or so many other factors could play a role. And I'm going to mention one for you guys, and that is we don't make our spouses and partners feel emotionally safe. We have exacerbated some of their insecurities. We have engaged in infidelity of some type. We've moved past some emotional pain that they're still trying to work on. And so we're like, why aren't you there? Well, because they're not there. Okay. If you hooking up with a woman who isn't getting wet down there, you don't necessarily need to take that as a sign that your partner isn't into you. You got to check in with her and see how she's doing. And if she's giving you the enthusiastic yes, reach for the bottle of lube and keep going. If she's not, then you know what? Go to a therapist, right? Seriously, you guys are going to hear us say that all the time at the Barbershop Group. We're going to tell you, when it gets beyond a problem that you can't solve on your own, don't be afraid to reach out for help. Now, the fourth thing where we mess up is we follow a script. You know, it's a common mistake that couples make, thinking that every sexual encounter needs to follow the same play-by-play. It often goes something like start with a little kissing, maybe fondle, you know, breasts, exchange some oral sex if you got the energy, then missionary for a few minutes, boom, you know, you get off, or maybe you and she get off, and then that's it. That's kind of like what happens, right? And I get it. It's so easy to fall into that type of routine, especially when you've been with the same person for a long time. We know what works. We know we've got other stuff to do. It's easier to stick to what is tried and true than to experiment. You got kids in the other room. You got to get to work in a few hours. You know, you got a million other things that you want to get to doing, and you just don't want to spend a whole lot of time here. So it does happen. The thing is, great sex is often fueled by the excitement of the unknown, from exploration to experimentation. Now, this isn't to say that you need to try an out-of-the-box kink or some type of acrobatic new position. We know a lot of older cats, y'all not doing that anyway, for real. Folks have arthritis, these women have had babies, and it has wreaked havoc on their bodies. We know these things are true, okay? An occasional new position or trias might be cool, but guys, let's be for real. Let's look at your age, or let's look at your ability, let's look at your spouse's ability, and have a sensible conversation, right? You know, the biggest recommendation is just to get rid of the check boxes of what acts need to happen when you have sex. A lot of therapists out there, they'll call this aimless sex. Okay, so say you're spooning with your wife in bed one morning and your hands gently, you know, graze across her breasts or whatever. You may feel a tremor of excitement in it, but instead of turning over and starting to make out and just say, hey, let's go straight to sex, you know, you just kind of leave it there, you know, for a while. You get up and go shower, get ready for work. You want to leave something to the imagination every now and then, you know, build up. I always say it's nice to put the turkey in the oven and let it take its time, you know. It's okay. Yeah, a lot of us tend to rush us then. Now, this especially goes for a lot of younger guys who sex is so new and exciting for them, especially if they're with somebody new. It's like, hey, let's go. That's going to get old. You're going to have to be more creative than that. Okay, so I don't want to get into all of the stuff here, but you know, this is something that if you guys want to hear more about this, you can join our private WhatsApp group and we can talk about these things a little more. And the fifth thing is this, making everything that's for her foreplay. The word foreplay has been doing women's pleasure a disservice for decades. This framing turns everything that gets a woman off into a rush-through prequel that's just there to gear up for the main act of the penis going into the vagina. That's it. An act that often provides a lot more orgasmic pleasure for guys than it does for women. Okay? Now, there's all types of studies out there. I'm going to mention one. There's some others. You can find more. But in 2017, one study found that just 1 in 5 women have an orgasm by penetration alone. What does that mean? Okay, because a lot of people get confused by that. It simply means that the only thing that is touching this woman is your penis going in and out of her vagina. There's no clitoral stimulation, there's no breast stimulation, there's nothing else. It's just this. And I think a lot of us guys kind of like we tend to think so grandiose of our penises that like they can do anything. And you know what, again, talk to your girl, you know, and be open to what it is that they have to say. After all, women know their bodies better than men do. And I'm going to say something kind of weird here. We men, we know our bodies better than women do. I'll have another podcast coming out about that later. But anyway, you know, just we have to keep it in mind that everybody doesn't get off the same way. To always make the act that reliably gets you off the main event while the acts that reliably get her off, like oral sex, are relegated to foreplay is essentially making your pleasure the center, of all the sex you have. So, you know, you basically are doing everything that she wants just so you can get what you want. And eventually your spouse or your girlfriend, she's going to pick up on that. Okay. And I would say that if you're married, your spouse is probably going to pick up on that before your girlfriend does, especially if she's not a long-term girlfriend. If she's a long-term girlfriend, yeah, she's probably like, okay, I see what's happening here, right? But when it's new, nobody thinks about that. They're just into the feeling, okay? So you want to get rid of the hierarchy of sexual acts. No sexual act should be assumed to be more or less important than the others. Give just as much attention and time to the sexual acts that get her off as you do for the sexual acts that get you off. Stop demoting your wife's pleasure to the dismissive category of foreplay. That word foreplay is just really, really a bad word. Okay? Doesn't mean that foreplay doesn't exist. But I would like to say this, that we probably need to change the way we view foreplay outside of the bedroom. We need to engage foreplay more outside of the bedroom. And if you ask your wife or your girlfriend what is foreplay to her, she's going to mention some things that happen outside of the bedroom. And a lot of them don't even have anything to do with you touching her. Okay. Number 6, a lot of guys make the clit an afterthought. You know, it sounds funny, but it's not funny. It's really sad. There are 50-year-old men out there who, when shown a vagina, can't identify a clit. And now, I get it. The other thing is this. Obviously, every woman is shaped differently, built differently. So some women have larger clitorises and clits and things, and some don't. You know, some people's clits and nerve endings extend upward into the lower abdomen, some go down into the anus, and all kinds of stuff happens. Talk to your girl to find out where she's sensitive, okay? There's a whole list of clit-related mistakes we could get into, you know, like aggressively rubbing on her labia, thinking that that's the clit, and it's probably not. Pornography is really good for showing you guys that they're not getting it right. You guys don't realize that porn actors and actresses get fluffed. They get touched the right way before they get to the act on film. Anyway, look, you know, it comes down to this. Are you really prioritizing the clit during all your sexual encounters? If, you know, touching is just a sometimes nice optional add-on during penetration, it's time to update your mindset, okay? On a woman, the clit serves no other purpose than sexual stimulation, guys. And culturally, we know that for a lot of people, this is brand new because they were never taught that. Now, again, while everybody's body is different, for the vast majority of women, clit stimulation is necessary for having an orgasm. You know, even if you're not using your hands, the position that you are thrusting in and out of her, it's got to include some type of stimulation for the clit. Talk to your partner. Focusing solely on the vagina while ignoring the clit is kind of like focusing solely on the balls while ignoring the penis. Now, come on, you know what that's like, guys. So actually, you got to learn where her clit is, okay? Yes, you got to give it as much attention during sex as you're expecting to get for your penis. That's it. That's what I have to say about that. I don't want to beat a dead horse. The seventh thing, we put pressure on our orgasms, all right? Telling your girl to come for you or asking her if she came, those are controversial phrases for some women. Not all, but for some women. Now, you know, be warned. Many women hate hearing these words. And on the other hand, there are some women who love to be commanded and controlled by their lover. And they like being told when to orgasm. They think it's extremely hot. Talk to your partner, okay? Now, I want to say that if you got to ask her if she came, or you have to tell her to come for you and she doesn't really like it, that's a good indicator that, you know, you need to get some education from your spouse or your girlfriend. There's some things that maybe you could be doing. There's some things that she could be doing too that might enhance the experience. Okay. Now, I said that some women like to be told what to do and they find it hot. There is something that's really not hot, and that's feeling like you're being rushed during sex, especially while receiving oral sex, okay? So that, you know, you can get to the next thing. I'm just gonna, boom, go here. I'm gonna go down on her so I can get to what I want. Yeah, women pick up on that, okay? Now, what's more, it can be frustrating to a woman to only have her orgasm truly considered and asked about after sex is already over. This reinforces the idea that her orgasm was optional to you, while your orgasm was considered a requirement for the sex to be completed. Communication is really important. Does your partner feel like she can orgasm every time she has sex? And is that something that she would like to happen? Some women like that. Some women don't think that that's absolutely necessary all the time. You know, how can you prioritize her pleasure? Whether or not it results in orgasm, how can you do this without making her feel rushed, pressured, or optional? The eighth thing is this: ending when you ejaculate. So listen, guys, you know the trope of the man ejaculating, roll over, passing out instantly. Now look, I want to tell you guys, and maybe some women who are listening to this, if you feel like there's something wrong with a man who falls asleep after ejaculating, biologically, chemically speaking, there isn't. There's something that takes place that causes him to begin to fall asleep thereafter. And the other thing I want to say is there's a lot more physical exertion that most men expend during sex than women. We just got to be real about that, okay? These guys are holding themselves up, doing what they're doing, and they're trying to do it for as long as they can do it. It is like being in the gym, okay? One reason why guys need to stay working out. But, you know, there's a biological reason, a chemical reason why men fall asleep. However, guys, I want to tell you this. Don't just roll over, okay, without acknowledging your spouse. You can fall asleep cuddling her or whatever, you know, but don't roll over like you just got done sleeping with a prostitute, okay? Now, look, in addition to this, sometimes being a bummer not to get that emotional aftercare, the pillow talk after sex. Some women, they like that. If that's a difficult thing for you, then communicate that to your spouse or your girlfriend and say, hey, you know what? I fall asleep because I'm exhausted. All right. And if she doesn't understand that, then there's another conversation to be had. But again, there's a biological and chemical reason for this, but you want to be able to communicate these things to her properly. Okay, basically, just don't treat her like she's a rag doll. All right. So these are some of the things that we men make a mistake on. Okay. Now, bottom line is something like this. There are so many little ways to be better at loving your partner, but the key is to earnestly care about how good the experience really is for them and to be willing to make meaningful adjustments to make things better on their end. To really personalize this endeavor, try opening up a conversation with your partner about what other little things they might like more or what things they like less during sex. Is it more buildup, more stimulation, more variety, less, you know, positions that hurt, positions that help? You want to be able to talk about those things. And might I add, you don't want to talk about those things just so you can find out what works for you or just so you can get to the nitty-gritty of things. Sometimes you want to have that conversation when you have no intention of having sex in the near future at all, right? Don't wait till it's like on your mind, you're horny as hell, and now you want to talk about it, because that's not going to make her feel too good. So just wanted to add those things for you guys this Friday. It's a lot to consider. You've heard these things from women before. They will continue to tell you. There are a lot of us guys out there. We've had, some years under our belt, and we've made some of the mistakes, and we've been willing to listen to what women have to say. And you know what? You can either be hard-headed and continue doing the things the way you want to do things and getting the type of results that you're getting. If you're getting great results, great. But a lot of you guys are being hard-headed. You're not getting the results that you want. You're trying to figure out, you know, why these women are so displeased. So, again, hopefully this will help you guys. And until next time, be well. We'll talk to you soon.